Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon in Chicago, and I'm just 90 minutes away from coaching in tonight's Celebrity All-Star Game.
I'm Tony Kornheiser. That means you got 90 minutes to learn everyone's name.
No, I mean, we've only had 11 practices, so I pretty much know everybody, though.
You haven't had any practices, and 3 days before the game, you could not identify 8 people on a 10-man squad.
6 days.
You knew Quentin Richardson, and the rest were a blur to you,
Chelsea,
as I remember.
Great. WNBA All-Star. She's getting
three.
The last shot probably in 2 quarters.
You got 3. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Myles Garrett talks, Chris Jones taunts Tom Brady, and we spend 5 good minutes with Stephen A. Smith. But we begin today with NL MVP Cody Bellinger torching the Houston Astros. Woo. Bellinger called Jim Crane's apology weak. He said the Astros stole the World Series from his Dodgers. He all but accused Jose Altuve of wearing a buzzer. But let's watch.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. Personally, I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show in the big leagues lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like that makes no sense to me.
That is a wow. Well, which parts do you agree with? Which parts do you not?
I don't have that sentiment, Tony, of agreeing or disagreeing. I like hearing Bellinger just go honest, straight, candid his feelings. I think that's pretty cool. I'm just not, as you know, I have my problems with this being made as big a deal as it is. And it wasn't nearly as big a deal when I objected to it as it is now. It's like 100 times bigger now. And Tony, great. I mean, I don't care as much about talking, which I know is weird for somebody who talks for a living. I don't care about their talking. I want to see them play. And so I want to see what the reaction is on the diamond to the Houston Astros starting day one. That's what I care about.
I understand what Bellinger feels, how he feels about this. He thinks his team got robbed. I don't know that Jose Altuve stole the MVP from Aaron Judge. But here's what I do know. When Houston plays the Dodgers, Bellinger's going on his back. I guarantee you that. I guarantee you that Houston pitchers are going to remember what everybody said about them, and a lot of people are going down. I find this very interesting that so many players are angry at the Houston Astros, and they say these are not sincere apologies. And yet with the Washington Nationals, Sean Doolittle has reached out to Will Harris, who was on this team in Houston and now is a teammate, and said, oh, but that's a sincere apology because you're teammates now. And that's how it works, Mike. When you're teammates, everything is good. And I don't understand still, what do you want now? What do they have to do? What do you want them
I
to
know.
Do?
I think they're going to give the trophy and the rings
they're not.
Back, Tony.
No.
Tony, how about back in the old days when they were both in the NL West? How would that have worked out?
They would have played each other a whole bunch of times.
Man, that would have been something else.
Incoming is what it would have been.
That's right. We got some Myles Garrett reaction in the wake of his suspension being lifted after just 6 games. In a conversation with Mina Kimes, Garrett doubled down on his accusation. The Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph called him the N-word, precipitating their helmet-pulling, helmet-swinging confrontation. Rudolph maintains he didn't say it, and the NFL's investigation couldn't find any evidence of Rudolph using the slur. Tone, what do you make of Garrett's comments?
I really don't know what to say, because as you say, the NFL investigated this, didn't find that Rudolph had said it. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who were around him, said they didn't hear it said. Garrett waited a day to say it in the first place, didn't say it immediately afterwards. If, in fact, that word is said, you would understand Garrett going wild. I don't know that you'd understand him hitting him in the head with a helmet, but you'd understand him going wild. And this just prolongs it. Garrett said, it's over for me. I'm past it. And Mason's past it, too. But you're not past it. You brought it up again. I don't know. Do you?
No, Tony, I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to believe. I was looking for some sort of finding of evidence. And there are black teammates on the Steelers who were right there, nearby.
Yes.
And they didn't heard it.
Right.
There were others. There was some of Garrett's teammates who said, here's that. And I'm like, okay, you know, look, I've been involved in those kind of dust ups. And I don't know about any sort of closure on the part of Cleveland. We've moved past it. I don't know. Maybe they have, Tony, because if there had been a finding, they couldn't move past it so quickly. Then we'd be asking what punishment would be due to Mason. But we're not dealing with that because there was no finding. I don't know what to believe.
Mike, if it's true, Mason Rudolph would be out of the league. If in fact he said this, I think he couldn't stay in the league anymore. But I will say this. There's a meeting between Roger Goodell and Myles Garrett, and a day or two later, he's reinstated, which means the suspension, the indefinite, was 6 games. I would think it's possible that somebody in the league office believes this was said, and that's why it's not 8, 10, or 12, but I don't know. I don't.
You know what, Tony?
I don't.
I think the NFL got it wrong again. I'm not talking about the investigation. I'm talking about the 6 games. Unless you find something here, or you got to come out and say, I have reason to believe. But once again, the NFL can't get it right because 6 games isn't enough unless you have some findings to share with the public.
Super Bowl winning defensive end Chris Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs told this story on the podcast, Pardon My Take. Jones recalled trash talking Tom Brady in a December game in Foxborough. Jones said he said to Brady, quote, you're an old bleep bleeper. Get your old ass up. You need to retire, unquote. And Jones recalled Brady popping right up, getting in his face. Jones said gleefully of this, quote, Brady got up so fast. That's the quickest I've ever seen Brady move, unquote. Wilbon, which is more compelling, the trash Jones talked or the way Brady reacted to it?
Jones and everything he says and does, Tony. I got a chance to meet and interact briefly with Jones during Super Bowl week. And he is irresistibly charismatic. And it is so cool that he said this to Brady. He knows how great Brady is. He wasn't trying to diminish Brady. He was like the young buck who comes into any playground sport and says, let me see what the old dude's got. And then you know he was charmed by Brady's response. This is my favorite NFL story like this in a long time. This is basketball territory. This happens in basketball all the time. Playgrounds and hardwood alike. I love the go at and I love the response.
So it made me love Brady even more, and I love Brady tremendously, and I didn't know Jones, and it made me love Jones. I mean, this is the way it ought to be. You go out there in football, you fight against each other physically, and at the end, you realize that you respect the other guy. Jones came into this year. Brady had 6 rings, Jones had none. Now it's 6-1. Now we'll see if Jones can get as many as Brady's got. But the respect that Jones has for Brady is charming to me. And
it is.
To me, both men are elevated by this story.
Now, particularly away from the battle, if you ask Brady like this, I suspect he would have an enormous smile on his face.
Agreed.
And he loved the moment. That's what competitors do. So we got another one of your favorite stories. An NHL coach being fired within sight of the playoffs after a disputed goal during the shootout cost Bruce Boudreau and Minnesota a critical point in the chase for a wild card spot. Boudreau was fired, even though his team had a 7-3-1 record in its last 11. Tone, did the Wild get hosed? And would Boudreau still have his gig if his team had won?
So let's take them one at a time. The rule is on these shootout goals, you have to be making continuous progress straight ahead towards the goal. It looked like he went sideways. It looked like he went backwards. But the action was continuous, so I probably would have given the goal. To your second point, would Boudreau have been fired? This would have made him 8-3 in their last 11. unless you're Lou Lamoriello, how do you fire a guy who's 8-3 in his last 11 and closing in on the playoffs? How?
I'm going to tell you two ways. One is contracts up anyway coming up. And maybe they just figured, okay, this is the time where we can get rid of him and because we're not going to go with him long term or re-sign him. The other thing, Tone, his team was choking like dogs in the third period and giving up leads when they couldn't afford to do that because they're chasing it. So that's how they can do it. And you know, in the NHL,
it happens all
once
the time.
Every few years,
it happens.
A guy could have won. Look, his record could be 13-3-1, and some NHL club GM
right.
would find a way to fire him and justify it.
The hockey world is crazy that way, but he's been in the league 13 full seasons, made the playoffs 10 times. His winning percentage is 63.5. Firing him is insane to me. Let us take a break. But coming up, we will welcome in the man who will be coaching against Wilbon in tonight's Celebrity All-Star Game, Mr. Stephen A. Smith.
He needs to talk now, because he ain't going to want to say much after we rip his team.
It looks like he's out there coaching, whereas you're here. Wilbon is in Chicago to coach a team in tonight's Celebrity All-Star Game, and he will be facing a team coached by our great friend and returning guest, Mr. Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A!
We're gonna start with this.
What's going on?
You posted a video that had you as Allen Iverson crossing over Wilbon as Michael Jordan. Do you think you're in Wilbon's head right now?
Well, listen, here's the deal. I don't quite understand your question just yet, but here's the reality of the situation. Mike Wilbon is great. He's phenomenal. He's a champion in this industry. But every now and then, there's going to be somebody that comes along, that jukes him, that humbles him, because they're great, too. That is what Mike Wilbon is faced against tonight, and this is what the situation is. So I thought it was appropriate to send out that video, because we all know how great MJ is. We all know there's only one MJ. But it didn't stop him from getting his knees buckled, from getting crossed over, from flailing his arms publicly the way that he ended up doing because the answer was in the building. It's kind of similar to what might happen to Mike Wilbon tonight. I'm just saying.
That makes me so happy because Wilbon hasn't even given this team plays. He doesn't even know half the people on his team. But you are coaching tonight against Ian Wilbon, someone just announced as a Basketball Hall of Famer. Does that not intimidate you?
Not in the slightest. Why would that intimidate me? Listen, just because somebody else is greater doesn't mean that I'm not great, and it doesn't mean that on any given night I can be greater, because we all know that's what I expect to pull off tonight. Mike Wilbon is an iconic figure worthy of Hall of Fame stature. He's been a Hall of Famer to people like myself and others for many years, so it's really beautiful that he's being acknowledged. Major props and congratulations to him. After the game, the night is over, we will celebrate. We'll sit up there and have champagne, and I will defer to his greatness spanning decades, but that will have no help for him for a 2 hour and a half period tonight. Tonight is when I'm coming for him. Listen, the guy, Tony, he's got the NBA. He's in on it with the NBA. They tried to rig the roster for him. All of Chicago, the homeboys, everybody, Doc Rivers texting him. People texting me to go against me. Guys like Common and others siding with him. But it doesn't negate the fact they can't do but so much for Wilbon. At the end of the day, the crew that I have tonight against his boys, we're coming for him, we're coming for the city of Chicago, and we're going to show you why your team right now is struggling. It's the cold. Y'all a little bit tight and ashy. They ain't going to help y'all when it comes to shooting. They're in a world of trouble, Tony. But we will celebrate and congratulate Mike Wilbon for his Hall of Fame stature after he loses tonight. Not before.
Terrific. Go ahead, Wilbon.
I'm just going to remind the gentlemen, my dear friends, on my left and right of that screen, that I-94 runs through Chicago, not I-95, all right? So you're going down. New York, Philly, all you right. soft people, you're going down. Now, we're going to get to some basketball, Stephen A., because we want to take advantage of your expertise, absolutely. We got some questions. Okay. The Lakers and the Bucks are on top of their conferences at the break. Which one, Stephen, do you think is more likely to win the championship this year?
I would tell you right now, the Bucks have a better shot. The Greek Freak is playing out of his mind. He's incredibly aggressive. He's going after everybody. He's let everybody know this is his time, and you're going to have to do something about him, and you're going to have to do something about it. And regardless of how competitive the East has been this year, the bottom line is the path to prosperity is easier through the East than it is through the West. Now, if you're the Los Angeles Lakers, you've got to look at the Los Angeles Clippers acquiring Marcus Morris, having legitimately four dudes, the Patrick Beverleys, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and now Marcus Morris to throw at the 35-year-old LeBron James in his 17th season. As a result, Frank Vogel's going to have to figure out who can come into the game, have the ball in their hands, and be able to spell for LeBron James without a significant drop-off. I don't know if they have that person right now, particularly against the Clippers. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, the biggest hope for the Lakers is that the Clippers, who play like champions when they go against the Lakers, forget that you've got to play other teams too at an elite level to get to the Lakers. That seems to be the Lakers' only hope right now of coming out the West, so I'd have to give Milwaukee the advantage.
Can I do some pushback here, just slight pushback? Do you consider, as great as LeBron James has been over such a long period of time, if there is a true motivation to win this in the memory of Kobe Bryant, is he not still capable, Stephen, of putting a team on his back for a seven-game series on raw emotion alone?
Well, I think he's capable of doing anything because he's LeBron James. But there's a guy on the other side of the ball, the other team, in Kawhi Leonard, that's the reigning NBA champion and a reigning NBA Finals MVP. He's a two-time NBA Finals MVP. He's younger. He's strong. He's one of the elite defenders in the game. And regardless of what LeBron wants to admit, what Kawhi Leonard wants to publicly or privately acknowledge, this man wants LeBron James. He has sent the message from the very beginning of the season, I'm coming for you. And we've been asking LeBron, what you going to do about it? Now, it's the regular season. The first two games he's played against the Clippers, he's lost. They got a couple of more games to go. Maybe he'll show, maybe he won't. Playoff time, you can expect to see a different LeBron James than what you saw during the regular season. But in the end, it's going to come down to Kawhi standing in LeBron's way. If there's one individual, as an individual, who can stand in his way and be incredibly formidable, it's Kawhi Leonard. So we're about to find out.
What a joy it is to have you on this show. And I'm going to get you out of here on this. This is more important than any of this basketball stuff. If Wilbon loses this game tonight in his hometown on I-94, not the superior I-95, if he loses in front of so many of his friends and family, should he be dismissed from the Hall of Fame?
Absolutely not. Mike Wilbon's greatness, you know, it knows no boundaries. He is a Hall of Famer. He's been a Hall of Famer to me my entire career. We've idolized the man. We love him dearly. He's an even better person than he was a fabulous writer, journalist, and commentator. But I repeat, despite all of those laudables, despite all of that affection and sincere love, that is not going to stop me from taking him down tonight. Wilbon falls, and then we go celebrate his Hall of Fame stature. He deserves it.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you so very
Stephen
much.
Stephen A.,
appreciate
love
it.
You. Thank
right.
you. Turn the My lights man. Out on right. him. He's done.
That was really good. Wonder Wilbon, that was really good. We're going to get out of here. Here, we'll take one last break. Still to come. What sort of suspension does Zach Kassian deserve for kicking a player with his skate?
And how should Tiger Woods feel about today's round at Riviera? He doesn't like Riviera all that much, Tony. How'd he do?
So I was going to try and read it, but then the prompter came up, and I didn't have to go to Plan B. Tiger did not do great at Riviera.
He doesn't. That's not his place.
He did not.
Riviera is not his fave.
Happy time, people. Happy 27th birthday, Jadeveon Clowney. The overall number one pick in the draft by the Houston Texans in 2014, Clowney was traded before the season this year to the Seattle Seahawks. He had the greatest single college football tackle anyone has ever seen while at South Carolina. But in the NFL, he's been a good, not great player. In 66 starts, Clowney has 32 sacks. But happy birthday.
Tony, there's still some sense, and I certainly have it, that he could have still a couple of great seasons. Has not been Reggie White, not that kind of impact.
That's right.
But he's been a good player.
Happy anniversary, Wayne Gretzky. On this day 34 years ago, Gretzky tied his own NHL record by recording 7 assists in a game for the third time in his career.
Serious?
We talked
serious?
The other day about Alexander Ovechkin perhaps ultimately breaking Gretzky's NHL record of 894 goals. But nobody will ever break Gretzky's assist record of 1,963. In fact, the player closest to Gretzky is Ron Francis at 1,249. The closest active player is 40-year-old Joe Thornton with 1,087. In the history of hockey, Gretzky has more assists alone than any player has goals and assists combined, Mike.
Tony, he's Jim Brown and Wilt. What are people talking about? They don't have enough respect for Gretzky.
Happy trails to Zach Kassian. The Oilers forward could be facing a suspension for kicking Lightning defenseman Eric Cernak right in the chest with the blade of his skate. When you watch this, it appears that Cernak, who got kicked, didn't seem to react to being kicked. Some will say that had Kassian kicked him in the throat with the blade of his skate, he'd have bled to death, but he didn't. Wilbon, would you suspend Kassian, who has a history of wildness?
Yeah, because the NHL has been very careful to move away from this kind of stuff, and you move further away if you say to this guy, you're going to sit for a while.
One omission, UEFA banned Man City from the Champions League for the next two seasons. How do you feel about this?
Tony, a Champions League trophy is what their ownership really wants. If you ban them for 2 years, it's going to be harder to get what they really want.
Quick to the big finish. Tiger, 2-73 in the second round today. How should he feel about that?
Tony, you know, Tiger doesn't love Riviera, 2-over. It doesn't sound like a match made in heaven. It never does there for him. Indian starter Mike Clevenger tore his meniscus in his left knee. Going to have surgery. How big a loss is that?
13-4 last year. Let's hope he gets back soon. Paul George hurt his hamstring again last night. Is that a big deal?
Maybe, Tony. Depends on how long he's out. Look, he and Kawhi got to play together for some games to get ready for the playoffs at some point. Washington released cornerback Josh Norman. Does this surprise you?
No, Ron Rivera didn't want him the last time around. No, it doesn't. The Celtics will retire Kevin Garnett's number 5 next season. Is he deserving?
Yeah, Tony, after an 11-year drought with the Celtics, he led them to a championship in 2008. It's deserved.
Out of time. Try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
And I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Thank you, Chicago.
Good night, Canada.